Okay, the Torah tells us in Bamidbar and Paraklamet Hay, Lo sachanifu es haaretz asher atem ba. You should not literally pollute the land with murder in which you live. This is the end of the discussion about an Ir Miklat. You shouldn't pollute the land with murder. So the Sifri in Piska Kusamach Aleph makes a drasha, Harezu azhar lechanafim. This is a warning to chanafim, people who flatter sinners, to compliment sinners and say, oh, good job, and to compliment people who do the wrong thing. And the Ramban on this pasuk discusses this issue as well, cites the Sifri, and the Yireim is the only one of the Moni HaMitzvot that I know in Simen Reish Mem Ches. The Yireim cites this as a mitzvah, one of the Tariag Mitzvos, that is prohibited to flatter, to compliment a balaveira, a sinner, in their conduct as well, one of the lavim in the Torah. If you look in the Toefes Reim is the classic commentary on the Yireim. He has a long discussion about what other Rishonim say. Do they agree? Do they not agree? But we're going to go with the Yireim, who says that it's a mitzvah in the Torah. The major gemara, the major sugya of chanifa, of flattery, is a gemara in Sota and Daf Memal. The gemara is talking about the mitzvah of hakel. Once every 7 years, the king would read from Dvarim in front of Bnei Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a mitzvah we are familiar with, we know about. We have a Zecher LaHakel nowadays without the proper Beis HaMikdash and the proper king, but this is what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says that at that time, Agrippus was the king. Agrippus came from a questionable lineage in the days of the Chashmonaim, after the Chashmonaim, and he read the Torah at HaKel. He really should not have been the king. He was questionable if he was Jewish, let alone from Sheva Yehuda, and he should not have been reading the Torah at HaKel. But he was, and he got up to the pasuk that says, you should not make a foreigner the king. You should not make someone who is a ger, someone who is not, certainly someone who is not Jewish, a king. And lo sucha l'seis alecha ish nachri. And the Gemara says, tears began to flow from Agrippus' eyes, began to cry, because he realized that the pasuk applied to him, that he was doing the wrong thing as acting as the king, when he certainly should not have been the king of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim said to him, you're our brother, Achinu, you're our brother, don't worry about it, it's good, you're doing the right thing, keep up the good work, Agrippus, you're doing fine, don't be upset. So the Gemara says as follows, Tanim Ishmei de Rabbi Nassan, they taught the name of Rabbi Nassan, Ba'osa Shah, at that moment, Nischaivu Sone Yisrael, Kalia Shachnifu Lo Agrippus. Sone Yisrael means the enemies of Israel, but that is what we call Lashon Sagi Nahar. It really means the Jews, Yisrael, should have been chayiv misa for such a terrible thing. They should have been wiped out for being mechane, for flattering Agrippus, saying, oh, don't worry, it's okay that you're acting as the king when you shouldn't have. What's wrong with them? How could they stand there and say to Agrippus, you're doing the right thing, when they all knew, the Chachamim knew, that he was doing the wrong thing?
When king can read those parsha?
What?
When king will have his own king, is that nobody else allowed to read it?
For the mitzvah itself, yeah, it has to be the king. But independence. The issue is that he's. But that's an issue by Hakel. Here, the issue is that he is reading a pasuk that says that the non-Jew should not be the king. So he said, "What is wrong with you? How are you flattering him in front of all these people?" So we see that chanufa means to is it a problem to not rebuke the person, but you're giving them congratulations in their improper behavior. Yashar koyach, you're doing a great job. How can they do such a thing? So the Gemara goes on to say, and there's a long sugir about chanufa and all the terrible things in Divrei Agad and Machshava. The Gemara says there are four categories of people who are not mekabel pnei Hashchina. Do I understand what that means exactly? No, but it sounds like it's pretty important to receive the Shekhinah. And one of the four categories is the Kat of Chanufim, people who flatter. Their sin is so great that they will not be Mekabel Pnei Shekhinah. So what's the Isser of Chanufa? So the Rishonim discuss a few options. It's being Machzik Yedei, a sinner. You're congratulating him, continuing his improper behavior. Also, it doesn't encourage tshuva. The issue is, nobody knows you're doing something wrong, how are you going to turn that ship around? How are you going to turn the boat around and fix your ways if everyone's congratulating you on your improper behavior? And the last reason is that it gives other people the impression that behavior is okay. If person A gives a compliment to B and he's doing the wrong thing, then Reuven's going to see that, and they're going to think that that's an okay way to act. These are the reasons for the Isra Chanufa. The Chavetz Chaim writes in his Psicha to the Lavin of Hilchot Lashon Hara that often Lashon Hara violates Chanufa, because a person is speaking Lashon Hara about Reuven to Shimon, knowing that Shimon hates Reuven, in order to make oneself flattering in the eyes of Shimon. I'm doing an Aveira to have a good favor with you. Or, on the flip side, a person's listening to Lashon Hara, and he doesn't give Tochacha. He says, ah, that was a geschmack piece of Lashon Hara. Thank you for sharing that with me. So what is that? Someone tells you Lashon Hara, you compliment them on the Aveira? Totally inappropriate, says the Chavetz Chaim. However, this leads to a machlokus between Tosas and Rabbeinu Yonah, whether chanufa is mutter b'makom sakana. Are you allowed to compliment somebody in a case where you think your life is in danger? So Tosos here in Sota cites a Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chav Beis. It's a famous Gemara. Ula was traveling somewhere with a caravan, a bunch of people, and in the course of a few events going wrong, the guy next to him in the caravan murdered the guy on the other side. The three people, Ula, the murderer, and the murdered. And he slit his throat. He shechted him right there in front of Ula. So guy was clearly a bit unbalanced, and he turned to Ula and said, "Nu, did I do a good job?" So Ula says to him, "Did a great job, but you might want to open up the Beis HaShchita, the place where you shechted a little bit more, because you could clean up your Shchita a little bit." So this is a discussion. What did Ula mean? Maybe he wanted the guy to die quicker because he was suffering, so he said, you know, end his suffering and take care of it now, whatever was going on. But the main idea is that Ula wasn't not going to give the guy Musar for murdering the guy next to him. He's going to get killed too. He did that to save his life. He has all discussion with Rabbi Yochanan, did I do the right thing? What should I have done? So Tosfos says, Mikan, we see from Ula, that b'makom sakana, if your life is in danger, and you think the person sinning would harm you, then praise him, 100%. You don't have to give up your life or put your life in danger to not praise somebody if you think it's going to save your life at the end of the day. However, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva in Shar Gimel Kuf Peches. Rabbeinu Yonah has a long, long piece on Chanufa. It's one of the biggest sections in the Shari Tshuva. We'll quote from it in a moment. He says, "V'chayev adim limsor atzmo l'sakana. You must put yourself in danger. V'al yasiyas nafsho avon ashama kazos. And not commit Chanufa," says Rabbeinu Yonah. You have to be relying in danger to not compliment a person who's doing the wrong thing. The Orcho Sadikim might have a hesber. The Orcho Sadikim lifts heavily from Rabbeinu Yonah. We don't know who wrote the Orcho Sadikim, but we know he lived after Rabbeinu Yonah because he quotes entire sections from the Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Orcho Sadikim writes in the Shara Chanifos that there may be a difference between private, where there's a heter in the case of Sakana, but in public, where it's going to be a chil Hashem, if I publicly compliment the sinner, but my life is in danger, it's going to be a chil Hashem, then maybe there, one might have to put their life in danger at the end of the day. So maybe that's the way to make Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah fit together. Private chanufa might be mutter in the case of sakana. Public flattery, which would lead to a danger, might be usher in the case of sakana because of chil Hashem. The Ad Katan and the Rambam Hilchos Deos says even according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a difference between chashas sakana, maybe you're in danger, versus vadai sakana, you're definitely going to be put in danger. The case of Agrippus, the sakana wasn't vadai. The issue with the Jewish people in the case of Agrippus is that they saw that he was crying. He knew he was doing the wrong thing. So that's the opportunity to swoop in and give him musar. If you see he's already repentant in his actions, then you should give him musar. Don't compliment him. That's why they were held responsible. That wasn't a vadai sakana. That wasn't certain danger. That was questionable. They should have gone forward and rebuked him, according to the Yad Katan in that case as well. The Yoreim also says there's no Isser Chanufa if there's a Chashash Nezak Mamon, you're going to lose out money, says the Yoreim. And this is where we stand at the end of the day. Where do we stand halacha lemaisa in these issues? So first we're going to tell a story, and then we're going to discuss the Rosh HaMadabrim, the main speaker on this issue, that is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. So first let's discuss the story with the Chavetz Chaim. Rav Elchanan Wasserman brings in the Kovetz Ha'aros, in the back of the Kovetz Ha'aros, which is a Sefer on Yavamos, Rav Elchanan Wasserman printed Dugmaos Le'agadata, how to learn Hashkafa, his derech, his path, and how to learn Hashkafa in the Torah. So there he tells a story in the Dugmaos Le'biur Agados in Chelik Yud, that there was a fire in Radin that caused a lot of damage. And the Chavetz Chaim began a letter writing campaign to raise money to rebuild the city. And it was necessary in this letter-writing campaign to raise money to write a letter to the editor of a newspaper who did terrible things. The editor wrote terrible things, acted terribly, but the Chafetz Chaim, for the campaign to get off the ground, needed this newspaper and the editor to publish his letter. So he spent a lot of time figuring out how to write the title with the least amount of kavod, so it wouldn't be Chanufa. And even after he sent the letter, he was anxious that he gave too much kavod to the editor. And he continues that the Chafetz Chaim was once meeting with Rabbanim in Vilna, and he asked all those assembled that it may be that we can't fight those who are Rishayim, but why do you have to give them kavod? Someone's doing the wrong thing. Okay, you're not going to start a fight, but you have to be mechabed the person. So you see, the Chafetz Chaim is very sensitive to not give honor to somebody who's behaving improperly. So let's come to the main subject, and that is a dinner, a shul dinner, or sometime in shul. And it's time to give out a kibud. You want to honor somebody. The guy wants to give a lot of money to the yeshiva, the institution, whatever it may be. Some guy's in shul. If you give him a kavod, it'll be good for us. It'll be good for the shul. If whatever it is, he'll give a lot of money. So can you honor somebody who publicly violates Yisurim? Is that a violation of Chanufa for an institution to do that? So Rav Avram Weinfeld, who's a Rav in Muncie, writes in Lev Avram in Kuf Lamed Dalet. He was asked about honoring the Mechal Shabbos at a dinner. Now, he doesn't write anything al pi halacha in the entire tshuva. It's like three columns. He just rails and brings down fire and brimstone, and he's horrified by such an idea. It's a chil Hashem, he says, to honor somebody who publicly goes against the Torah at a dinner, at a shul event, something like that. He says you should protest, you should prevent it if possible. And he says there's no questions asked. It's chanufa to honor somebody in such a position. Comes Rav Moshe Feinstein in Negros Moshe or Chaim Chalek Beis in Siman Aleph. And the tshuva is specifically about a doctor who is a very big Baal Tzedaka, but he happened to have intermarried. And they wanted to know about giving him a kibud in shul. If they don't give him a kibud, he might be upset, he won't come back to the institutions and support them. He's been very good to the Jewish community in certain ways, but he married a non-Jewish woman. You're going to be mechabit such a person? Says Rav Moshe, what are we supposed to do? So he says as follows. Rav Moshe begins by citing a Yamshel Shel Marush, the Marshal in Bava Kamma in Perek Vav. The Gemara says that the Romans asked the rabbis to come and teach them Torah. So the Gemara says, record some of the things the Romans taught, the rabbis taught the Romans in the process of that class, of that shir. So one of the things they said is that the rabbis taught the Romans is that one doesn't have to pay if a Jewish owned ox gores a non-Jewish owned ox. That's the halacha in the Torah. If my Jewish ox gores my non-Jewish neighbor's ox, I don't have to pay. I'm not chayiv. That's a din in the Torah. That's what it is. There's nothing to discuss. So Tosus asks, how could they teach Torah to a guy when there's an isser to teach Torah to a guy? That's Tosus's question. You're not allowed to teach Torah to a guy. A guy learns Torah, the Gemara says, it's not okay. Maybe chayiv misa according to the Gemara and Sanhedrin. You can't teach Torah to a guy. So how are they going around doing this? So Tosus answers that it was permissible b'makom sakana. The Romans said, you show up here, you teach us Torah. If not, there's going to be a price to pay. So the Marshal asks, if they were trying to save themselves, so then why would they teach a halacha that's going to get them in trouble? No, what's going on here, Chazal? Why would you go before the Romans and teach them a halacha that's going to make the Jewish people look bad, that the Jews are not going to have to pay if their ox gores a non-Jewish ox? So the Marshal says that you don't need to provide information if you aren't asked. But if you are asked, you have to tell the truth, even if it would be a sakana. And the Marshal says, because to falsify the Torah is like avodah zarah. To change the Torah and mislead in what the Torah says is a form of avodah zarah. And that's why it's avizrayu da avodah zarah. It's like a form of avodah zarah. And for avodah zarah, you have to give up your life. And therefore, says the Marshal, that's the rule. If you don't have to offer anything, but if you're asked, you have to answer straight, even makom sakana, and not change it.
Place that change everything.
17. The Gemara in Megillah when the Chacham wrote the Septuagint. Correct. So that you could say that the changes they made were things that were editorials that could be read multiple ways. They didn't change the Torah. They weren't mezayef it. They didn't falsify it. They just put a spin on it that wouldn't be misconstrued. This is different.
I always have a question. What is Torah? Because I brought salvation. The holy man of faith is spoken before a Catholic monastery.
Yeah.
So the question, what is Torah?
I think we Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, things like that.
in his acquired Torah, if you'd say the...
Oh, again, I'm not sure. Yeah, but in that regard...
Let's assume it's
correct. So, based on this Marshal, says Ramosha, listen to this. He says, the idea of Chanufa, he says, this is the idea of an Isra Chanufa. Chanufa is when you are mechanif somebody by stating something false about the Torah. But if the statement can be understood in multiple ways, then it's not Chanufa in the case of Sakaras Nefashos, in order to save your life. Isra Chanufa is to falsify the Torah, says Ramosha. So he says, what am I talking about? When you say to Agrippus, you're our brother, it's okay, then it could be interpreted by saying that Agrippus is a good guy, you do good things for the Jews. So he says, in the case of Agrippus, you can misconstrue what they said. It's not clearly, they didn't say, keep on being the king, great guy, you're doing a good job as king. They said, like, you know, you're Achenu, you're our brother, because you do nice things for us. In that case, B'makom Sakana, they're not falsifying the Torah, they're just putting a little spin on, a little bit of English on the ball, as they say in pool, just to make it a little bit different. When the murderer asked if he did a good job, says Ramosha, then he could be told that for a murderer, you did a good job. That's what he told him. He asked Ula, did I do a good job? So Ula told him, for a murderer, that was good murder. But he wasn't complimenting him directly, he was just saying, that was good murder. So says Ramosha, in both of those cases, B'makom Sakana, they rationalize to move it a little bit, not to say something that's totally false, but to say something that can be misconstrued, that's much B'makom Sakana. So says Ramosha, based on all of this, the entire Isra Chanufa is about misrepresenting the Torah, and therefore anything that doesn't give the impression of Ziyaf HaTorah is allowed. And any praise that has nothing to do with condoning improper behavior is not an Isra of Chanufa, says Ramosha. And that's how he comes out, halacha l'maisa. If it's clear to the people that the person is being honored, because we need the person, everybody knows that we shouldn't learn from his actions, then there's no issue honoring the person. And in many cases, the honoree understands that the community doesn't approve his actions. The doctor knows that he shouldn't have intermarried. You think he's the some yeshiva where every single kid has payas from, you know, kindergarten to, you know, 12th grade is honoring this doctor. Do you think the doctor thinks that they think that he intermarried is okay? No. He understands that he does good for the community, he supports it, and they're honoring for the good things that he does. Says Ramosha, and this limits the Isra Chanufa to an important area. It's only an Isra Chanufa if you flatter and compliment the Isra itself. But if I flatter and comment something else that the person does, independent of the Isser, then it's not a problem, says Ramosha. Based on the Marshal, it's only an issue of Ziyaf HaTorah, to misrepresent the Torah. If I honor this doctor for giving good medical service to the community, so what? I'm not honoring his intermarriage. I'm not honoring his Chil Shabbos. I'm honoring the good things that he does, ignoring the bad things that he does. Ramosha, I think, has support in Rabbeinu Yonah. The Gemara Sota concludes that it's mutter to be machnif the Rishayim. So how does that fit with the beginning of the Gemara? It says it's Asr. So I'm going to list you. Rabbeinu Yonah lists 9 levels of chanafim, 9 flatterers. Let me just go through 1 through 8 very quickly. He says, someone who tells a Rasha he didn't sin, one who praises a Rasha in front of the people and the good things that he does, the one who praises the Rasha alone, even with nobody else there, one who becomes friends with the Rasha, a person who is honored in the eyes of the people, and even though he should not be honored and he's not a good leader. 6, he says, a person who can protest and doesn't. 7 is a person who doesn't protest because he thinks the protest is not going to work. 8 is a person who doesn't protest when he knows even that his protest is not going to work. You have to protest anyway. And 9, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is mi she'enu mishabeach es harasha, who doesn't praise him, aval mechabdo kederach shemechadim l'chol bai hasrara, but they honor him like you would honor any official, v'chanufa kazos hutra ba'olam hazeh. Such a chanufa, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is mutter. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's a hetzer to give an appropriate amount of respect for somebody who deserves that respect. So if the guy gave $1 million to the yeshiva, he should be honored for giving $1 million to the yeshiva, even according to Rabbeinu Yonah, because that deserves this much respect. Should I go beyond that? Whatever that is, I guess your board has to figure out how much honor that is, but he should be given A, not beyond A when it comes to honoring him. I think Rabbeinu can fit together. I've heard Rav Schechter say on occasion that it's not necessarily chanufa to honor somebody. He says the issue is justifying their averos by expressing that they are righteous when in fact they're not. You can honor the person, but I'm not have nothing to do with the averos that they did, the same way as Rav Moshe explained.
Why is it implicit that if you come and you honor somebody, that you're basically saying nice things about them, or even a memorial, your type, somebody who's a big about avera, and you're saying just good things about the person. Is it implicit that you don't care about his avera?
So says that's not chanufa, says Rav Moshe. That chanufa is only to falsify the Torah. That's how Rav Moshe is narrowly looked at it. What?
Agrippa's story is not chanufa either.
So Rav Moshe says, in the case of Agrippa's, it's at the end of the day, for whatever reason, the Gemara felt they were improper. But their rationalization was that it's b'makom sakana. We're talking about not b'makom sakana. Rav Moshe's shuv is about a case where nobody's going to get hurt by not honoring the doctor or honoring the doctor.
Or if you get
hurt, then
sakana.
Yeah,
sakana that you don't get $1 million.
The sakana does.
No.
The one other issue before we get in just to two important stories is the issue of this is a longer suga maybe for another time. And that is the issue of giving honorifics and titles to people who don't deserve it. We know that nowadays everybody is Harav Hagon, right? Harav Hagon Shlita. So this is an old conversation. We think this is just, you know, nowadays. This goes back centuries. The issue of too many titles. The Maisa Ish in Choshen Mishpat Siman Yud discusses how Rabbanim and Poskim write letters to people and give them all types of titles, when in reality, those people are not Gaonim. And he explains that it's not Chanufa to give more kavod to someone who deserves kavod. It's Chanufa to give kavod to a Rasha. So the local Orthodox rabbi is a good guy. So give him more honor. That's not Chanufa, he says. And he cites the Arizal, who would be Meshabach, people who didn't deserve so much praise in order to make them feel better about themselves. So the Stei Chemed and the Mareches Chaf in Chanufa and Oskuf Mem has a long piece about this. And he argues that Chanufa is to give people the title, it's Chanufa to give people the title of Harav Hagon when they don't deserve it. And he goes on to cite a number of Rabbanim who were careful to not give extra titles to people who were not worthy of them. Rav Yosef Zachariah Shtern, the Rav of Shevel, the Zecha Yehosef, told the Stei Chemed in a letter, that he once wrote a tshuva to a rabbi and called him simply Harav. This is the end of the 1800s. He said, I just called him Harav. And when the rabbi published the tshuva of the Rav of Shevel in his own book, he added his own Hagon. He added Harav Hagon to his own tshuva because he thought it was a bizarre that the Rav of Shevel didn't call him Harav Hagon. When the Stei Chemed then says he once received Chedushei Torah from a rabbi who warned him to look over the Divrei Torah he wrote. And when the Stei Chemed responded, they didn't have time to look at them thoroughly. The rabbi responded that he could already tell the Stei Chemed didn't respect him because he didn't refer to him as Harav Hagon in his letter back to him. So the Stei Chemed argues, maybe, that if we don't give elaborate titles nowadays, it will be a pagam in the kavod of Talmid Chacham. We're so used to Harav Hagon Shlita to everybody, so at the end of the day, if we don't use it, then it's a pagam, it's a knock, and that person's kavod. And he elaborates more on this in Mareches Chaf later on, Os Kufman Zion, Rabbi Kiva Eger. The children bring in the Hakdama to the Chuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Rabbi Kiva Eger said that it's Avak Chanufa. It's the dust, it's a shmek of Chanufa for the letter writer to add titles, and it's Avak Gaiva. It's a bit of Gaiva for the recipient to receive a title. And it's Avak Sinas Chinam if he doesn't get the title he wants. So Rabbi Kiva Eger said, you can't win. If you give the title, it's Chanufa. If you get the title, you're a Baal Gaiva. And if you don't give it, you're going to cause Sinas Chinam. So you can't win at the end of the day. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Shuvas always says Harav. No titles in Shuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger. And Rabbi Kiva Eger, there was nobody greater than him in his time. So he has the right to call anybody, I guess, Harav in that reality. There's a Medrash that sometime is cited in the Otzim Midrashim. It says that a person has to be Mechanef, his wife, Mishum Shalom Bayis, and his Balchovo, the person he owes, Sholiel Chaltzenu, that the Balchov shouldn't press him, and his Rebbe, that he should teach him Torah. Sometimes a bit of grease to get the wheel moving is good, to get people to like you so you can get things you need, and to flatter them, a Rebbe, a spouse, somebody you're in business. Sometimes those things are necessary at the end of the day. The Rav Menashe Klein and Chelek Yudas have long arichas on this as well, at the end of the day. What we would conclude, just before I tell two stories, is that in our generation, for people, in most cases, if a person is a Baal Aveira, So then you can honor them and praise them in the things they don't do at Isurim. But I would say in one particular area we need to be very careful, and that is an issue of financial crimes and things like that when it comes to people in shuls and institutions. Because one of the reasons we said regarding Chanufa is that you're going to lead people to think that it's okay. You have somebody come to shul, you have somebody in institution, and they honor him. Are the bachrim, the young people, are not going to understand that maybe what he did was not inappropriate at the end of the day. And therefore you have to be careful how that chanufa is going to look. If it's patently obvious to everybody that this behavior is wrong, we would never do it, but we're honoring him for other things, then we have what to rely on. But if it's going to smell even a little bit, that people are going to feel, or young people are going to feel that this behavior is okay, we have to be very careful at the end of the day how that's going to look as well. Just two other examples that came to mind when I was thinking about this. You know, person gets somebody gets a in an email or a WhatsApp, you know, a joke that may be inappropriate, to have inappropriate content, and the person says, "What did you think about my joke?" If the joke was inappropriate, it was nivel peh, it contained, you know, something that was, you know, not appropriate, it was, you know, racist, something like that, then you can't compliment the person on the joke, even if it's going to be uncomfortable. You can't compliment the person for relaying information that's inappropriate and not nice, totally not okay. Or a person is dressed in a way that's not sanua, that's inappropriate. The person, how do I look in this outfit? If the person is dressed in a way that's inappropriate, cannot compliment that prohibited way to dress. You have to figure out a way to say in a way that's not going to be a compliment in such a fashion. Let's just tell two stories regarding Chanufa. Mikatza lekatza. One about how one stood up on their principles, and the other how a person used Chanufa to turn somebody around. In the Sefer Marbitze Toru Musar, they cried about the Beis Halevi in Chelek Aleph, page Pehe. How the Beis Halevi left the position in Slutsk after 10 years. The Beis Halevi, before he came to Brisk, was the rabbi in Slutsk. What happened was is that there was a big gvir in town, a very wealthy man, and it was the time for his bar mitzvah for his son. And he invited all the chashuva people in town in Slutsk to come, and including the rabbi of the town, the Beis Halevi. And on the day of the bar mitzvah, this wealthy person who was not especially careful in Torah mitzvos sent a carriage driving himself to go pick up the Beis Halevi to bring him to the bar mitzvah. So as the Beis Halevi was about to get into the carriage, so he asked the father of the bar mitzvah boy, "Nu, what did the boy say in his bar mitzvah pshetel? What did he say in his drasha?" So the father turned to the Rav and said, "What are you talking about? Nobody gives pshetel nowadays. That's in the olden days. Nobody gives bar mitzvah drashas anyway. That's nobody cares about this Torah anymore. It's not so important." So the Beis Halevi told the driver, "Stop." He said, "I'm sorry, I have to get out. It's not okay to have a bar mitzvah event, a bar mitzvah party, and not have a divrei Torah from the bar mitzvah boy. It can't be. And especially in such a chutzpahdik way to say there's no importance of giving a bar mitzvah drasha." And he got out. And then, right after that happened, a poor man from the community whose bar mitzvah boy, whose son was having a bar mitzvah party that day, came to the house of the Beis Halevi. He was initially embarrassed. He's going to take the Rav's time to come to his son's bar mitzvah, but he went to do it anyway. And the Beis Halevi went to this poor man's, and he heard the beautiful drasha from the boy, and that's what happened. The wealthy man, the gvir, was so upset that he went to all of his friends and told them what happened. And all the friends were upset that the Rav of the town, the Rav of the Slutz, was so chutzpahdik to him, didn't come, that they went to all of the innkeepers and everybody in town and said, "You have to, cannot hold the Rav of the town in your house. You can't host him in your house." And he went to the inn where he was staying and he told him, "You have to kick him out." And they forced everybody with money and threats and things like that to not hold the Beis Halevi in their house and their family. And the innkeeper, with no choice, didn't want to lose his entire financial situation. And he told the Rav, "You have to leave my house." So finally, after a day, a non-Jewish innkeeper had rachmanas on the Beis Halevi, and he took him into his residence. And 2 or 3 weeks later, he left and went on to the next town. That's how the Beis Halevi left Slutsk in 10 years. So the story being that he stood on principles and was not mechanef. He did not compliment, and he did not say it was okay for that father and the son to speak about divrei Torah and bar mitzvahs in such a way. He stood on his principles, to one extreme. The other extreme is a story about the Balatanya, Roshnir Zalman of Liadi. He was once raising money to ransom a Jewish prisoner, and he went to a city that was famous for its miser. And the rabbanim of the town said, "We're going to collect money for Pidyon Shvuyim, but I'm telling you, don't go to this guy's house. Don't go to this miser's house because he's not going to give you a dime at all. So they went around to the town, and then the Baal HaTanya said to Rishina Zalman, let's go to the house of the miser. So the Rabbanim said, no, no, no. We said, you can't go there. He's going to be mevaza you. He's going to talk about you in a disgusting way. Don't go there. He says, no, we're going to go. So they walk up the driveway to this big mansion. They knock on the door. And the other Rabbanim are cowering behind the Baal HaTanya. And he says, knocks on the door. And the servant opens the door. He says, how can I help you? And he says, I'd like to speak to the master of the house. He goes and gets the Baal HaBas. He comes to the door. And he says, how can I help you, Rabbi? And basically, and the Baal HaTanya tells him the whole story. Pinyon Shvuyim, somebody's in help, he's in jail, we need money, can you help us? So the Maya says, oh, of course, Rabbi, my pleasure. And he goes back, and he comes back with a little velvet satchel, and he says, here, take it. And inside is one rusty penny. One rusty penny. So the Shulchan Acharav, the Baal HaTanya, looks at him and says, thank you so much. That is so generous of you. That is so wonderful of you. Thank you. I'm sure to use this in a good way. Have a great day. So the Rabbanim are looking at what just happened. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, turns around and walks away. So they're walking with their back towards the house. And the Rabbanim are saying, what was that? What did you just do? So he told them, whatever you do, don't say a word. And don't turn around. Don't look back. So they're making way down to the bottom of the driveway. The door opens and he says, Rabbi, come back. I want to talk to you. So they walk back up to the top of the house. And he says, I want to give you some money. How much is it? How much is this for? Come back. So he says, I need a raise of $1,000. This is what I have. So he says, here's $100. This will be fine. Take this. And the Baal HaTanya says, thank you so much. This is so wonderful. It's so nice of you to give us such beautiful chesed and tzedakah. Have a wonderful day. And the guys, the Rabbanim's mouths are dropping open. They don't understand what's going on. The guy hasn't given a penny to anything for 20 years. And they just got $100 out of him. And he says, tells them, don't say a word. And they walk back down the driveway. They're at the bottom of the driveway. The door opens one more time. And the miser opens and says, Rabbi, please come back. I need to talk to you again. He says, how much do you say you need to give the total ransom for the person? He said, $1,000. That's what I need. So he said, one second. He goes back to his house. He comes back with a tight stack of bills, all $1,000. He says, here, take it. Use it in good health. And this is what I want you to have. So the Beis Ali, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya thanks him again. He gave him Yashikoch, good brachos, and children, and nachas from the family and everybody. And they went on the way. The Rabbanim don't know what to do with themselves. They couldn't get a penny from this guy for years. And he just got a full ransom's worth from this miser. So he says, what happened? How did this happen in this case? So Rashir Zalman said that this man is no miser, but no Jewish soul is truly a miser. But how could he desire to give if he was called and treated as a miser for his entire life? If you called him a miser and you referred to him as a miser and you labeled him a miser, what do you expect? He says, you just need to tap in to the potential that's inside and compliment him and get through that crack to get through there. So we see from the story of Rashir Zalman that there's an inyan of chanufa to grease the wheels, to open people up, to perhaps put them on the right path, to show them in the light a different way they didn't view themselves, and to lead them in the proper path at the end of the day. Okay, we'll stop here.